want to thank you for the nice place. It is beautiful over there and very comfortable. And I don't know that I've ever stayed in a missions house that had a study. It's got a little office there where you can study, and that's a blessing. Of course, I'm the only one there, so if I get interrupted, I have to do the interrupting. But I appreciate it, everything that's over there. And there was even a little bottle of stuff, anti-frizz for your hair. And I have a lot of trouble with that, and so I was thankful for that this morning. All right, John chapter 8. This passage goes along with the song I just sang. And I want to just take a moment or two and think about this passage of Scripture. John 8 and verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, then they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'm thinking about this passage, and I want to preach a little while on this passage on what Jesus had to offer to an adulterous woman. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you today. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, we thank you for your sweet forgiveness. We thank you for the wonderful words, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, I pray you help me in the next few moments to say what needs to be said, to leave off everything else. And I pray you help your people. But most of all, Lord, I pray you'll be glorified. And Lord, if you are glorified, then we'll get helped. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I got thinking about this passage, and I'm honestly not sure what got me thinking about it. But we have a woman taken in adultery. Now, in this passage, it is a woman. The sin is adultery. But we know that not only women are adulterers. We know that not only women are sometimes guilty of this sin. But in this passage, Jesus deals with this woman. And so I'm interested in how he dealt with her and what he had to say to her. I would say to you, perhaps by way of introduction, there are a couple things that this passage is about and some things that it is not about. It is not about Jesus condoning adultery. Amen. You cannot take this passage and say, well, Jesus doesn't care about adultery. You'll remember that our Bible says in the law, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Say, well, who wrote that? Jesus did. Amen. Jesus is God. You do know that, right? The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made. And then I think it's verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word is Jesus. He made the world. He wrote the Bible. He is the one that inspired it and wrote it. And the same Jesus who said, thou shalt not commit adultery is the same Jesus we're reading about here in this passage. And so he commands us that we do not commit adultery, and he's not taking this sin lightly or overlooking it. The other thing I want to remind you about this passage is perhaps even the most important part of it, not what necessarily what we're going to look at in a moment, but maybe one of the most important parts of it is what Jesus said to these Pharisees. He said to them, "Let he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." He was teaching them a lesson about judgment and about condemning others. And he's not saying to us, you know, I think when I was here, maybe a couple of years ago, I preached on judge not. I may have preached on it. I was preaching through the Beatitudes a little bit at that time. Judge not, lest you be judged. And some people say that verse means we never should judge anything or anyone. And that's not true according to the Bible. Sometimes you have to have discernment and you have to make judgments. But this is a condemnation here. They are being Pharisaical and hypocritical in what they're doing. They really don't care that this woman was guilty of adultery. What they care about is trying to trap the Lord and make themselves look better. And that's the kind of judgment that he is teaching against in this passage. But I'm interested in his dealing with this woman. I was talking to a preacher recently, and he has a pretty extensive staff, and every year he does background checks on the staff. He has to do it for legal purposes and so on. And I talked to him just a couple days ago, and they had some new staff members, and he said, I just completed background checks. And here's what he said to me. He said, I was reminded every Christian, every saint has a past. All of us do, don't we? We all have a past. Our past may be different. There may be things in your past that are not in mine, probably some things in mine that are not in yours. But every saint has a past. But I'm glad that God can deal with our past and give us a bright future. And that's what he did with this woman. And we're talking about this woman here because that's what's in the passage. But really what we're going to see here is true of Christ dealing with every sinner, no matter what the sin is, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. This is how he deals with sinners. He offers her something. Here's the first thing. I have just three things. I don't think it'll take me very long, but I don't know because I've never preached before on this. He offered her, first of all, a change. There is a complete change that takes place in this passage because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence. First of all, he offers this woman a change of conversation. Now, watch what happens here. They wanted to talk about her. Look what it said, verse number 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken adultery in the very act. They want to talk about that. Isn't it something how people like to talk about everybody else's sin? They don't want to talk about their own, but they want to bring yours up. They want to bring mine up. There's something about somebody wants to know something and have something on somebody and tell something on somebody. But in this passage, they want to talk about her. But Jesus changes the course of the conversation. Listen to me now. Listen to me carefully. He doesn't want to talk about her sin. He wants to talk to her about her sin. Amen. You know, those that don't care about you, they'd like to broadcast things. They'd like to tell everybody. But Jesus is not interested in broadcasting. He's interested in you and him having a talk about sin. Amen. He wants to talk personally to us. I'm glad the Lord is a personal God. I'm glad that he wants to talk to me. It seems that before it's all over, and I'll mention this, he changed the crowd because when it started, there's a whole crowd. Get the picture here. Jesus is, he's in the temple, outside the temple, and he's preaching and teaching. So there's already a crowd of people there. Then the scribes and the Pharisees come. There's a crowd with them. They've got the woman and they bring her in before the Lord. So there's people everywhere and they're talking about all of this in front of everybody. But when he gets done with these scribes and the Pharisees, they're all gone. Now, I'm sure there are some other folks around, but suddenly if you read this passage, it comes down to him and her. He changes the crowd and he just wants to speak to her about the sin. You know, you say, preacher, what would God like to do about my sin? He'd like to deal with you about it. Amen. He'd like for you and him to have a conversation. He doesn't want to sugarcoat it. He doesn't want you to hide it away. He doesn't want you to cover it up, but he does not want to broadcast it. He wants to keep it. I'm glad he wants to keep it between us and him, Amen. Our sin. So he changes the conversation and he changes the crowd. But I think the most wonderful thing about it is he changes the condemnation. Now, what were they going to do? Well, they condemned her. They said in verse 5, "Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" So they refer to Moses and the law. Of course, they didn't believe Jesus was God. They didn't believe he wrote the law. But Moses and the law commanded that the adulterer and the adulteress, both of them, they didn't bring the man because they were not concerned about the sin. They were just trying to trap the Lord. But the commandment said that they were to be stoned, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to catch Jesus in the middle of this thing. They wanted to catch him because if he stoned her, he would break the Roman law. But if he did not stone her, then he would break Moses' law. That's what they wanted. They wanted to catch him between a rock and a hard place. But you know what? It's hard to catch the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's hard to catch the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, is styled as the wisdom, and he is the wisdom of God. He's a lot smarter than you are.
Amen.
He's a lot smarter than I am and a lot smarter than they were. And so they tried to catch him, but they wanted the woman condemned. They would have been very happy for him to say, "Stone her." They would have been happy about that. So Jesus kneels down and he writes. I don't know what he wrote. I've read several people. Some say he wrote some words from the Old Testament. Some say he wrote down some of their sins. I don't know. He might have written down, and maybe he wrote down a name that when they looked at it, they remembered something that they were wanting to forget and had covered up. I don't know what he wrote. But when he wrote in the sand, and then he stood up and he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." And then the Bible said in verse 9, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And he said this to her. He said, 'Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?' She said, 'No man, Lord.'" Now listen to these. These are wonderful words. "And Jesus said unto her, 'Neither do I condemn thee.'" You know what he did? He changed her condemnation.
Amen.
I want to say this to you this morning. If you have covered sin, if you have hidden sin, if you have something you've been involved in, I'm not talking about something you got right about, but I'm talking about something you've been involved in and nobody knows about it and you've never dealt with God about it, here's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want you to cover it up. He doesn't want you to just sweep it under the rug. He wants you to come to him and come to the throne of grace, and here's what you'll get. Here's what the Hebrew writer said. He said, "Let us therefore come boldly on the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need." You know what you'll get if you bring your sin to Jesus? You can have forgiveness. No condemnation. I mentioned in my prayer, that's what Paul said to us in Romans chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You can have no condemnation. Isn't it an amazing thing that you and I, who have had a past, can be clean?
Amen.
You think about it. Somebody may never forget. You say, "Well, so and so will never forget." But God will put it in a place and never bring it up again. I had a fellow ask me this one time. When God said in the Old Testament, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And he said to me, he asked me this question. He said, does God know everything?" And I said, "He certainly does." He said, "Then how can he forget anything?" Well, that's a good question. So what's the answer? Here's the answer. When God uses the word "remember," he's using it in a legal sense. And it's like this. Have I got this thing on? Okay, he's using it in a legal sense. And here's what it means. Let's say these three fellows on the front row are brothers. Let's say they're all physical brothers. And their father dies and leaves a will. And so the executor of the will comes. And he has these three brothers come. And he's going to tell them what they're going to receive from the will, from their father's estate. So he comes to the first one and he says, "Now, this is what your father left you in the will," and he enumerates what's yours from the estate. Then he comes to this one and he says, "Now, here's what your father left you in the will," and he enumerates what you get to take the estate. But then there's one more, and let's say that this son and the father were at odds. And so this son did not receive anything from the estate. Now, here's the way the executor might put it. If he's using legal language, he'll say to this son, "I'm sorry,
but you are not remembered in the will. Now, when he says you are not remembered, doesn't mean your daddy don't know he has a son.
That's right.
It just means he didn't put anything to your account.
That's right.
And when God said there's sins and iniquities, but I remember no more, doesn't mean he doesn't know I sinned. Just mean he didn't put it to my account anymore.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, where did he put it? He put it on, hallelujah. He put it on somebody else's account.
Amen.
He took my sin and he put it on Christ's account, and it's no longer on my account. It's not that he doesn't know that sin is there. It's just not on my account anymore. It's on Christ's account.
Amen.
And he paid for it on Calvary. How can Jesus say to this woman, when they said they caught her in the very act, how can he say, neither do I condemn thee? Because he knew he was headed for the cross, and he would bear that sin on the cross of Calvary, and it would be put to his account and no longer to her account. You and I are pure and clean in Christ because all of our sin has been put on Christ's account. Why would you carry that sin? Why would you carry that guilt? Why would you carry all that covered up when you can come to Jesus and he'll take it off of you and put it on his own account and you never have to face it again? Why not just face up and get it right with God and be done with it? He changed the situation, the condemnation. He offered her something else. He not only offered her a change, he offered her a chance. Now, I'm zeroed in on this, last verse, verse 11. Look at it. She said, no man, Lord. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? No man condemn thee. And he said, no man. She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Now, watch this little bitty word. Just two letters. This little bitty word, go. That's a good little word, especially if you remember the beginning of the passage. Go back and read verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, do you get the picture I get that she didn't come willingly? They brought her. You know what they did? They grabbed her by the arms. I see one on each side of her. Got her by the arms and brought her, and then the Bible said they set her. She didn't want to be there, but that's where they brought her. She was, could I put it this way? Sin had taken control of her. The consequences of her sin was now ruling her life. That's always what happens when you sin. If you sin, you lose your liberty. Something else controls you. Something else takes over. That's why the Bible talks about the bondage of sin. That's why the preacher will get up and he'll talk about how we've been freed from the bondage of sin. Why? Because sin has a way of overruling our lives. And so here is a woman, she sinned, and because of her sin, she's not in control anymore. Can I put it this way? She's not free. She's bound.
Man.
They brought her in. It's the consequences of her sin. And it's like that in our lives. If you have hidden sin, unconfessed sin, if you're involved in sin, you may not realize it, but somebody's got you by the arm. Your sin and the consequences of your sin have you by the arm. And it's taking you places you didn't plan to go, and you don't want to go, and when you get there, you wish you never got there. You're not in control if you have sin in your life. Sin is ruining your life. It's controlling your life. And it's ruling your life. And you may not think so, but that's what's happening. You know, Peter said to the Lord one time, the Lord got talking about going to Calvary. Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. And what was the Lord's answer to him? He looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He looked at Peter and he didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter did not know Satan had prompted those words. But because of Peter's outlook and Peter's attitude, he allowed Satan to gain control and a foothold in him. And when you sin and you have sin and it's covered and it's unconfessed and you never got it right, you never brought it to Jesus, you and him, and got it straightened out, then you're just like this woman. You're being carried along by the arms. And you're going to end up, she didn't want to be where she is. I will say this, they meant it for bad, but God turned it over and brought out good in it. But she never wanted to go there, but she's being carried along I was preaching one time in Georgia.
As a young man came, he came on Sunday morning and I preached the gospel. And on Sunday morning at the end of the sermon, I said, "Now, if you're lost and you'd like to be saved, if you raise your hand, I'll pray for you." And this young man raised his hand. He didn't come forward. So after the morning service, I stood in the back and I was shaking hands. That was back when shaking hands was legal. And I was shaking hands and I asked him his name. He told me his name. And he left. He didn't come back Sunday night, but he came back every other night of the meeting. He never raised his hand again. On Friday night of the meeting, I was out in the foyer. I was shaking hands, and the pastor stuck his head through the door, and he said, "Brother McBride, would you come up and talk to this young man?" I said, "All right." I came in through the door, and there was that young fellow, and he's sitting up in the pew, or in the choir loft. So I walked up, and I sat down beside him, and I called him by name, and he looked at me and said, "I know why you asked me for my name." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, you've been praying for me, haven't you?" I said, "I have." So I began to talk to him, and here's what he said to me. He said, "The other night I was sound asleep, and I woke up out of a dead sleep," and he said, "I heard a voice." He said, "I wasn't dreaming, I was awake." And he said, I'm just telling you what he told me, okay? You do whatever you want to with it. He said, "I heard a voice, and the voice said, 'You're all alone in the world, and you have no hope.'" And he said, "It scared me." So I began to talk to him about his salvation. He said, "I can't be saved." So I took him through the scripture, showed him God would save him. He kept saying, "I can't be saved." And then he said this, "I can't be saved because of my sin." And on and on we went. And finally I said to him, "Listen, all of us are sinners. All of us. That Jesus came to save sinners." He said, "No, I can't be saved because of my sin." And here's finally what he said to me. He said, I'm addicted to pornography. And he said, I work in a place where I work online 8 hours a day. He said, "I can get all my work done in about an hour and a half, and I spend the rest of my day surfing pornographic sites on the internet." And he said, "I can't stop." Now here's what's going on with that young man. He got involved in sin, and he didn't get it right, and somebody had him by the arm. And he was being taken somewhere he didn't want to go. I did not lead him to Christ. I tried. I'm not sure what all ever happened to that young man. He said to me, he said, now I'm talking about sin. Are you listening now? He said to me, "I'm 30 years old and I'll never get married," he said, "because I don't know how to look at a woman." That's what he said. I hope I'm not being too plain. He said, "I don't know how." What happened was he got involved in a sin and he never got it right with Jesus. And now sin and condemnation has him by the arms. And it's carrying him a place that he didn't want to go. This woman was being carried. But you know what Jesus did? He set her free.
Amen.
He got her to the place where he could say to her, "Go. You can go free now." You know what Jesus will do? If you'll just get down to you and him and tell him the truth, you know what he'll do? He will set you free.
Amen.
That's what he'll do. He changed. He gave her, offered her a change. He offered her a chance. No more broad and set, but now go. And then he offered her, and here's my last thing I want to say, he offered her a choice. I want you to notice the last thing he said to this woman. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." He said, "Go." And then his last words to her were this, "And sin no more." He offered her a choice. He said, "You have a choice now. Nobody's got you by the arms. Nobody's carrying you in. Nobody's condemning you. You are not condemned. Now you have a choice. The choice is sin or not sin. Go and sin no more." You have a choice. All of us in this life, we have a choice. We have a choice. Jesus sets us free from our sin. We have a choice. You remember in the Old Testament, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Sometimes in this day, people say, well, preacher, I can't help it. I can't help what I think. I can't help what I do. I just can't help it. But my Bible said, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will all, with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's what my Bible said.
Amen.
I have a choice. Can I read you some verses from the book of Romans? If I can find them here, I believe it's Romans chapter number 6, I think, is where I want. The Bible says this. It says in Romans 6 and verse number 11, we ought to read the whole chapter, but we don't have time. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not, look at that, let not therefore sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Look at it now. Here's what he's saying. Yield yourselves. You have a choice. All of us have a choice. Nobody can say, Lord, I didn't have a choice. All of us have a choice. Go and sin no more. He leaves a choice with her. I hope you'd make the right choice. I'm thinking about this passage, and I know the setting of it. I know he's dealing with an adulterous woman. But as I said to you in the outset, the principle here is a principle that applies to every sin. It applies to all of us, men, women, teenagers, boys and girls. Those Pharisees had bad motives for what they did in bringing her. But the best thing that could have happened to her was to come face to face with Jesus.
Amen.
And he brought it down to him and her. And there was no condemnation when she left. And she left of her own free will. And he gave her the opportunity to start a new life. He gave her a choice. Do you know what sin does? Sin limits our choices. I give you this illustration. It's kind of a crude and simple illustration, but some years ago I was preaching at the Green Chapel Baptist Church in just outside of Lenoir, North Carolina. We had a motorhome at that time. I stayed in the motorhome and they had a fellowship hall, and I went in the fellowship hall. They had a restroom in there, and I went in there to wash my hands. I'd been working on something outside. And when I turned away from the sink, the water heater was just about that high, just sitting out there in the open, right in the corner, wasn't enclosed or anything. And I noticed on the water heater, it said this. It said, warning. And I'm trying to word it the way it was. Warning. Do not supply current to the heater until the tank is filled with water. It said something like that. So I wasn't supposed to have any electric going through there unless I had water in the tank. And the reason for that is, I learned later by experience, that if you turn on the electric to that little element and there's no water in there, it'll burn the element and you won't have any hot water. So here's the point. I could look at that thing and say, I don't care what you say. I have a choice. And I choose to hook up the electric with the tank empty. It's my choice. But you know what happens if I make that choice? I lose my next choice. Because now I can't choose whether I have hot water or cold water. All I get is cold water. So by exercising a choice, I lost the choice. If I made the right choice and said, I'm going to do what the instructions say, it leaves me with another choice.
Amen.
Jesus says to this woman, neither do I condemn thee, go. And he gives her a choice. Sin no more. All of us have a choice. We have to make a choice. We can choose with our sin to cover it and say, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to get right about it. And what will happen is, we'll lose our other choices and we'll find ourselves being carried somewhere we didn't want to go. Or we can bring our sin to Jesus, face to face with him, and listen to what he tells us. I notice This woman never said a word except, "No, ma'am, Lord." But Jesus knew what she needed. He knows what you need.
Amen.
If you come tell him the truth, he'll say to you what he said to her. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You know what there is? There's hope with him.
Amen.
There isn't any hope without him.
Amen.
But there's hope with him.
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads a moment. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't want to know. Not my business. But God knows and you know. Maybe this morning you'd want to come to him. There were still people around, but it looked to me like it got down to him and her. Why not let it get down to him and you this morning? Don't worry about who's in the pew. Don't worry about who's behind the pulpit. Don't worry about any of that. If there's sin in your life, before you get carried away to a place you don't want to go, why don't you come tell him the truth? Why don't you come face to face with him this morning? Why don't you come see what he has to say? I think if you'll come tell him the truth, you'll be glad about what you hear from him. I wonder if there's somebody. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, there's nobody looking. I wonder if there's somebody that's going to say, "Preacher, I need to get something right with God this morning." It's not my business what it is between you and him, but you'd say, "Preacher, will you pray for me? Because I need to come clean with him, get something right this morning. Will you remember me when you pray?" Is there somebody like that this morning? You lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I'm going to wait a moment. Now, Father, you help us today. There may be somebody listening, some folks here in the auditorium. Some things need to be gotten right. Some sin needs to be confessed. Somebody needs to come face to face with the Lord this morning. And I pray that will be the case, that you'll be glorified in your grace towards sinners. There may be somebody lost listening today, here in the auditorium or on the internet, Lord, that would repent of their sin and trust you as Savior. And they'd hear those words. They must have been sweet words to that woman. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Thank you, Lord, for when you said that to me in my heart. Help me to ever keep short accounts with you. Thank you for being a wonderful and forgiving Savior. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand a moment. Our sister's just going to come and play something on the piano. We're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If God dealt with your heart and you need to come, you come. Don't let anybody keep you away or anything. You just come bow the knee. Do business with the Lord.